Well, good morning. Welcome to Fairlawn Baptist Church. My name is Jason Spade. I'm the pastor here, in case I haven't gotten a chance to meet you. If you are a visitor with us, you'll find a card like this in the pew back in front of you. If you'd take a moment and fill that out and then turn it in at the Welcome Center, we'd appreciate it, and we have a gift up there for you as well. Also, up on the Welcome Center, you'll find a little piece of paper that looks like this. We're doing a series of messages that begin on June 23rd that are called Ask the Pastor. So if you have a question that you've thought you always wanted to know the answer to, now's a good time to fill that out. I will say that I got one last week asking me why I'm bald. That's really not a theological question, but we could do a sermon on it, but I'm not real sure it would be all that insightful. But any other question that you have, we're going to take the top five of those questions and put together a different sermon series from the 23rd of June through the 21st of July. So make sure you stop by and get one of your questions in. You never know, it may be one of the top five. I've also said, too, that if we have enough of those, then I'll do some of that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights as well, which Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are not like this. They're a little more intimate than that, and it's a little bit more of a Bible study, a little less of a worship series. So be sure and come out and be a part of our Sunday nights and Wednesday nights as well. But go over a couple of quick announcements, and then we have a special thing to go on this morning to kind of commemorate some people and the work that they do around here. And then we'll do our weekly read and respond after that. But June 27th is Kids Day, not June 21st, which is in your bulletin. June 21st will still be in the middle of VBS. But the following week, June 27th, is the actual Kids Day. There's a VBS meeting immediately after service today if you're interested in serving in any way or helping out that week. Even if you can't be here all week, if you can just help certain days, it'd be good to attend that meeting. And it'll be down here right after service today. Also today, we'll begin kind of Fairlawn under construction. You're going to see a lot of different things where we're changing over to VBS over the next couple weeks. So don't be surprised if you come in here next Sunday and it looks very much like VBS week early. This is a big church. It takes a long time to get it turned around, so we'll be doing it for a couple weeks there, and there'll be plenty of opportunities to help with that too. So if decorating or just picking up things and putting them down is something you feel talented at, I'm sure my wife could use your help in doing those things, and you can talk to her and she can help you find a place to plug in that this week too, because there'll be multiple times this week that she's going to be working on that, including this afternoon where she needs some muscle to help get decoys out of a building out back and in here that are kind of full-size 3D targets is what they are, but we use them in our sportsman's banquet, and we're also using them this year in VBS because it's into the wild, so it kind of fits right along with it. But be in prayer for our VBS group and the people that will be leading it, and for those kids that will be coming. The last few years, I mean, it's pretty common to have 200-plus kids, people in the building during that time. It's a very busy time during that week, but it's also full of energy. It's a blessing to be a part of. So if you have the opportunity to serve in it and you haven't done so yet, be sure and sign up. There's a table right out here in the foyer where you can sign up to be a part of the VBS team. All right. Now I'm going to turn this over to Rusty. He's from our Operation Christmas Child, and he has a special presentation for some people in our church.
Good morning and welcome. Can you all hear me?
No. I promise they can't.
Okay. All right, she can. Okay. Now can you hear me? Okay. It gives me great honor to be here and pleasure to be here this morning. This is my wife, Paula. Paula was actually involved in Operation Christmas Child before I got involved with it. She's a church relations coordinator and has been with OCC for, what, three? About 4 years, okay. And we also have Kathy Dye, who's a community relations coordinator for the Parkersburg area as well. Kathy, wave your hand. There she is, okay. And I just signed on last year in August, and I'm the logistics coordinator. And actually, I think I'm one level above Fred, but I'm his assistant. So he knows way more than he's probably forgotten more than I've ever learned so far. But we would like to thank Fairlawn Baptist Church for your guys' dedication to this project, because it's amazing. When on the way down here this morning, I said, well, we've never been to church to fellowship with you guys, but I expected about 7,000 people this morning with as many shoeboxes as you all donate every year. It's really tremendous, and I wish we had every church donated like you all did. And it's a blessing to God, it's a blessing to the children, and it's a blessing to us as well. So I hear you guys had like a little private dedication to Fred, and what happened was we've had a little bump in the road. Our area coordinator has changed a little direction in her life. She is no longer with us, and she would have normally been doing this morning, but she's, as I said, she's changed direction. She left us at the end of April. So I'm kind of like a fish out of water, and especially since, yes, this is supposed to go on a sign. My wife and I both have master's degrees, okay, and we couldn't figure this out this morning. But this was the one that Janice used to take around, and so she's serving dual purpose this morning. That and this one here. And if anybody's interested in year-round volunteers, you can talk to us, talk to Kathy, talk to Paula, talk to myself, or somebody. You know, we can give you information on that. But without any further ado, I think I'd like for Fred to come up, please, Mr. Fred Morgan. Thank you so much. The Lord thanks you. I thank you. Your dedication just amazes me. Your energy amazes me. I'm blessed to know you, really. In the Parkersburg area last year, guys, we collected 7,813 shoeboxes in the Parkersburg area. And Fairlawn Baptist had...
Don't ask me.
It's over 1,000. Over 1,000, I believe. No?
Probably about 600.
About 600. Okay. Well, that's the only number... Sorry, that I don't have this morning. Parkersburg area had 7,813. The Great Lakes region had 897,294 boxes, and the Parkersburg area had 10% of those. Yep, that's a lot of boxes, folks, for such a small area. And I mean that because although Parkersburg is larger, the surrounding counties, the surrounding 10 counties are not. And we're in a four-state area, and they're amazed at us when Janice went to her conference, her post-conference, and folks, they're still delivering boxes all over the world, so they haven't all been delivered yet, and it takes a lot of time to get this done. I feel kind of bad that it's 6 months after National Collection Week that we're even here doing this, but it takes a lot of time to get all the ducks in line and make sure that all the boxes are counted properly. And Janice went to a conference, and they said at that conference, she told me that they said there were two area teams that were like model teams that did the job and did it right, dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and got a Gold Star Award. And they said out of all the Gold Star Awards that they gave out, that there were two areas that stood out and could be used as models. And one of them is the Parkersburg area, and the other one is out in Indiana somewhere. I don't even know. I don't care. But we set a goal this year to make it, and by George, we did, you know, and with God's help and a lot of what Fred did. And, you know, I liken Fred to like one of those superheroes, you know. And I think superhero, what superhero would he be? He would be Batman. And the reason why he would be Batman is because we also have a Robin here, okay? And I would also like for Miss Ellen Fordyce to come up, please. This is the Gold Star Award that's going to be presented to your church, and you can do with it as you wish. But thank you, Ellen, as well. I met her and immediately thought, do I like her or not? And I do. And I do like Ellen. But more than that, I respect her because she's a daughter and a crosser, too, of I's and T's. Would you mind holding that for a moment? And we'll if somebody would kind of get a picture, I don't know. Put my mic down. Like this, and 1, 2, 1, 0, 2, 4, and then okay. And By the way, while Paul is doing this, while Paul is doing this, and Kathy's doing this, there we go. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And also, I'm going to let Ellen, you hold that, if you would, please. Fred, since you're young at heart,
okay,
and you're young in the mind, I believe,
people,
we're going to speak that into existence, you get to open a shoebox, something you've probably never, ever done. This, you get to keep the shoebox, and you get to keep the contents.
Tissue,
here. This is a Gold Star Award, worthy of a Gold Star person.
Fred Morgan, Gold Star.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Ellen, thank you. Okay. And Pastor Jason, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was thinking while I was sitting down here on the front row when he said, what kind of superhero would Fred be? And this is probably thankful to my son who recently posted this picture online, but I was thinking more like Captain Underpants. But regardless, he did a great job. If you've never been here to help with that, coming up this fall, you'll have the opportunity to do that as well. We pack a lot of shoeboxes into trucks out here and send them all over the world. So it's a really good opportunity for you to actively touch a box that's going to touch some child in a whole other country in a unique way. So it's a blessing to be a part of, and you should avail yourself when that opportunity comes up. If you would please stand with me, we're going to do our read and respond, then we'll pray and welcome each other here this morning. Why must the Redeemer be truly human? The answer, that in human nature, he might, on our behalf, perfectly obey the whole law and suffer the punishment for human sin, and also that he might sympathize with our weaknesses. That comes from Hebrews 2:17. It says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we thank you for the seniors that we're celebrating today as they graduate high school and college. And Lord, we just ask you to bless their lives as they move to that next chapter. But Lord, we ask that you help us, Lord, to feel convicted, to stay in touch and accountable with them as they go into this next step. Lord, we are a family of believers, and help us to regard them as family as they approach their life moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a moment, shake somebody's hand, and welcome them here this morning. Thank you.
follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Stands behind the God of angel arms. is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Amen. You all may be seated. Dave Wills is going to be coming up. He is our deacon of the week. And if the ushers would go ahead and come forward for offering this morning.
Well, we're making a change. You see that phone number up there? It's going to be the same every week. The church has decided that we're going to have a separate deacon's phone. So your message will be secure. But seriously, we deacons, we welcome the opportunity to be of service to you. If there's any questions or concerns that you would like to share with us, we are led by God to do so. So that number, write it down, remember it. There may be a time that you need assurance. You want to share prayer. You want to share a blessing. So don't hesitate to call. Now, somebody already called me. Now, is this a prank? I have no idea. Okay, now here's the other problem. I have an iPhone. This is a Samsung. I have no chance. Why? No, seriously. Did somebody call? Oh, back there's the culprit. Thank you, Andy. You surely see my incompetence. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here today. A lot of great things going on. Fred, Ellen, awesome. We're here to honor the Lord today and bless an offering. Be with me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, many that go unrecognized. Father, we stand before you today with our gifts. But Father, it goes beyond monetary gifts. We need to serve you with our spatial gifts, our treasures. Whatever we can do to bring others to know you, that's what we are charged with, Lord. And that's what we need to do to serve you. Bless this church, our pastor, and this congregation as we strive to serve you, Lord, because that is our mission. Take our gifts, Lord. Use them as you wish to make sure the word is spread for those who are lost. I ask you this in your son's most precious holy name. Amen. But I have one other thing I wanted to share with you. And my fellow deacons make fun of me, but that's okay. I'm an easy target. Mark makes fun of my notes. But I have a serious question today. Which is more important, to save a life or save a soul? My point being, even if you're not put in a life-saving situation, you're going to put into position to save a soul or more. If you're sharing your faith and exhibiting your faith by the way you live, act, and talk, are you prepared? Are you prepared? I'd like to share this other little prayer with you. Empower me, O God, I pray, to love all the way you do, with gentleness and mercy, goodwill and kindness too. Giving of myself to others, as your scriptures teach, offering a helping hand to all within my reach. Please grant me motivation to serve you selfishly, loving you with all my heart, because you just love me. I'm not afraid to die.
All right. Hope you had some tissues for the family members out there. Today is graduation Sunday, and so we just want to take a couple extra minutes to recognize our graduates. I'm going to name some of them, and so I'd ask you guys to come up here in a minute. So the first one was Killian Davis. Killian will be attending WVU in Morgantown with a major in criminology and also with minors in computer science and cybersecurity. Prior to beginning classes, Killian will join the West Virginia Air National Guard as a loadmaster and head to San Antonio for basic training and tech school. So Killian, come on up. The next one we had was Kaylee Limer. I don't believe she was able to come back today. The reason is she's already attending WVU in Morgantown. So she signed up for summer school and is up there already. She is majoring in chemistry with a double major in double minor in biology and Spanish. After completing her bachelor's degree, she will continue her education in pursuit of becoming a neurosurgeon. So, go Kaylee. And then next we have Madison Suzik. Madison will be attending Marshall University and major in child psychology. There she is. And then this year, we have one college grad to also recognize, and that's Angela Dixon. Angela graduated in December with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Ohio University with the honor of magna cum laude. She will continue her work at House Calls Hospice Care. So, Angela, please come up.
Thank you.
All right, our graduates for 2019. Thank you all. So it's kind of hard to believe that I've done this three times now. It's like, where does time go? But it's always an honor to see our graduates. It's always interesting from my point of view to see what their interests are and where they feel led to go, whether that is to college or to a tech school or right into the workforce or the military, and then also to see them go, and then whenever they graduate college, to see what their future plans are and what God has planned for them. So it's an awesome thing. It's an honor to be able to help out with that a little bit. So thank you all. But whenever one of the most common questions we get from people that just graduated is, what's next? What's my plan? What should I be doing? What do my parents want me to do? What do I want to do? What does God want to do? What does my boyfriend or girlfriend want to do? Where are they going? Because I might want to go with them. There's 50 million questions of what's next? What's the plan? And so I looked up a couple of statistics before. And as of right now, 80% of U.S. college students will change their major at least one time. And so that right there says that, you know what? What we think we have planned doesn't always turn out to be the way it ends up. 80%, 8 out of 10 people will change their major at least once. And some of those are going to change 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times before they figure out where they're being called. And then also after you graduate, or if you go straight into the workforce, the national average, people change jobs 12 times. That's a lot. And so, again, that goes back to what is this whole plan thing, right? Where am I supposed to go? You know, maybe I am following God's plan by changing these jobs. He has something in store for me every time. Or maybe we're struggling to figure it out. Or maybe we're not really relying on God to be that anchor point to show us what his plan is for us. And so as I was thinking through all that, I, actually had a different topic planned for today, but about the middle of the week, that changed. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but here we go. Today is God Has a Plan. And the verse is in Jeremiah chapter 29. So if you have your Bibles, please go to Jeremiah 29. These are verses that we've all heard before, I'm sure. It's a verse that I've listened to and read multiple times. But it was until this week that I read it, and I had a different meaning to it. It's always been an encouraging scripture. People seek comfort in it, and they feel comfort in it because of what it says, that God has a plan. But I think there's a little bit more to that I personally have overlooked in the past. So today we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit. And so if you would turn there today to Jeremiah 29, we'll read verses 11 through 14. But before we do that, I think we could all agree that to graduate, they made sacrifices. Whether it was dedication and time, sacrificing of their time, their effort to study, to make sure that they graduate. They made all sorts of sacrifices clear throughout their 12 years in school or 4 years in college. They made multiple sacrifices. But I also think it's very clear and important for us to remember that none of us would be here today if there wasn't for one true ultimate sacrifice. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Now, he made the ultimate sacrifice, and he did it willingly. It wasn't that somebody was forcing him to do it. He willingly chose to sacrifice for us. And so I want us to think about that as we go through this today and see how that can apply to his ultimate plan. Because I'm pretty sure that Jesus making that sacrifice wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. I'm pretty sure that God had a plan on that, and that it was his plan from day one. And so we can cling to that in combination with these verses, that God truly does have a plan for us. And so the little bit of back history. The nation of Israel was reeling after being conquered, and they're enslaved again. They kind of been going through this sequel of being free, being captive, and feeling close to God. And then they do some things, and they draw away from God. And then God reels them back in. And then they do this sequence over and over and over again. And so we come into one of those parts in Jeremiah, and it's very similar to our lives, I think. You know, the Israelites were God's chosen people. And so you would think that if you are God's truly only chosen people, that you would just absolutely love and adore him, and that you would do everything in your power to make him happy. And so we are also God's chosen people. And so we need to be living our lives to do whatever we can to be making God happy. But much like the Israelites, we try, and we might pull close to God during certain seasons in our lives where we feel really close to God in our walk. And then we kind of veer off sometimes, but God has a tendency to bring us right back to him. And so in Jeremiah here, there are many false prophets going through at this time saying, well, you're going to be free, and God's going to rescue you right now. And the Israelites, they liked that. They liked hearing that. They were encouraged by that. They were like, all right now we're going to get out of this. We're going to be free again. We're going to be with our Lord and Savior, and everything is going to be great. God is going to save us again. But then Jeremiah says something a little bit different. He says a little bit different story in his verse. Forgive me, I did not have my verses up. But verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So here, many of them wanted to know what God's plan was for them. There were many false prophets who proclaimed that God was going to overwhelm the Babylonians and that Israel would soon be free and return home. But Jeremiah didn't exactly agree with that. He prophesied that the downfall of the nation, of the captivity that was happening in that moment. In our passage this morning, God has just instructed Jeremiah to tell the people that he is not going to rescue them in this time. In verse 10, it says, "When 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise, encouraging my promise concerning you to restore you to this place." And so the false prophets were saying that it's going to happen now. Well, Jeremiah, the true prophet, said, well, actually, it's going to wait 70 years. And so the Israelites at the time kind of came off of a little bit of a high right there, because they were wanting to listen to the false prophets that was going to happen now. And Jeremiah is saying you got to wait 70 years for it. But then in verse 11, God instructs them to not fear, that he knows the plans that he has for them. And so then that gives them re-encouragement and know that the Lord was there for them. And so in a sense, the people who had been exiled to Babylon were now commanded by God to sacrifice their lives in exile while he would bring the nation out and restore the nation. But God didn't ask them to sacrifice without some reassurance. Like I said, in verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you." And so basically what God is saying here is he's saying, I know I'm asking you to sacrifice in captivity for 70 years. I know that. But don't fear. I have a plan. And my plan is for you specifically. It is a plan for good, not for evil. It's a plan for prosper, not to be destitute. And it was God's assurance here that laid out a plan that he that gave the captives hope and encouragement to go on their normal lives and serve him while living in a foreign land for 70 years. So you see, the captives taken back to the conqueror's land were not treated well. Most of the time, whenever you're held captive, are you put on in a palace someplace nice and given all the royalties that you ever want? Well, no. And so they weren't. They were struggling. They were having issues. They were going through this. You know, they wouldn't be kept up well. But they took comfort in God's word by saying, go ahead, rest, build homes, live in this land for 70 years, and I will come get you. So God's message through Jeremiah is very important to us, that in our lives today we can struggle through this world and we can think, well, what's God's plan? You know, where is God in this? I just graduated, or I just am starting a new job, or maybe I'm moving to a different place or going through a different relationship. And a lot of times we can get to that point and we can say, well, where's God? You know, what does God want from me? Where does he want to lead me? Well, we need to kind of remember and have faith that God is there for us and that he has a plan. And so the first thing is, God has a plan for you. And so have you ever been in a car with a bunch of young kids, and maybe you're going on a long trip? What's one thing that they say a lot? Yep. Is it normally like they'll just ask one time and then that's it? No. It's like every 10 minutes, Dad, are we there? Mom, are we there yet? Over and over and over again. Why is that? Why do you think the kids are always acting? Are we there yet? They're anxious, right? They don't care about the process. They don't care about how they get there. They just want to be there. They're excited for whatever it is, whether you're going on a vacation to the beach or going to Disney World or whatever. They don't care about how you get there. They don't care about the map that you're going to be using to get there, or the road or anything. They just want to be there, and they're excited about it. Do you think it would change anything if before you got on that trip, you sat down with your kids and you explained to them how long it's going to take, what road you're going to be on, and that you'll be there in so many hours? Do you think that would change anything? Probably not. Because most of our children are not very patient when it comes to things. Are we different than that? You know, I'm up here saying that God has a plan for us. He has a wonderful plan, a plan to prosper us, a plan that is as perfect in His will. There's nothing that can go wrong with His plan if we follow His plan. But are we patient? You know, a lot of times I want to know what God has planned for me. I absolutely do. And then whatever that is, I want it now, right? Whether that's if you're graduating, whether that's a job, or that's a college, or maybe that's a future spouse or children or whatever. Whatever we think it is, we want it now. We don't want to wait. But God is saying in these scriptures that you need to wait. And you need to have faith and trust that there is a plan. And by the way, this plan isn't just some spur-of-the-moment thing, and it isn't something that is going to be bad. It's going to be an awesome plan. It's going to make you prosper. It's going to be there for you. It's the ultimate plan, and all we have to do is have faith and wait for it. And so in this instance, the nation of Israel was kind of like that. They were kind of saying, are we there yet? You know, can we now get through this? And God was saying, I have a plan for you, but I want you to wait. But trust me in this plan. And so today, graduates, you're going out into a new life, whether it's college or the workforce, you're going out. And so my suggestion for you is to seek God in all that you do. No matter what it is, seek God first. Read your Bible every day. Dig into the Word. Do a Bible study. Get a accountability, a partner that you can rely on, that they're going to challenge you and say, hey, did you read your scriptures today? Did you do your Bible study today? You know, but dig into God's Word. We say oftentimes that I want to know what the plan is for me. Well, you're not going to know the plan unless you read the Word. Unless you have that relationship with Christ, you're not going to know what the plan is. So my suggestion for you, first and foremost, is to read the Word. Dig into God's Word. There you will find what His plan for you is. Second thing, so God is going to listen to you. Verse 12, it says, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So have you ever been in a conversation and you're talking and you're just laying your heart out? Maybe it's a big subject or spouses. Maybe it's telling about how your day went, and the other spouses every once in a while just kind of, uh-huh. No, that's nice. Uh-huh. You know, they're hearing you, maybe. But are they truly listening to you? There's a big difference, right? You can hear all sorts of things, but if it's not registering, if you're not truly dedicated listening to that person, then you really aren't hearing and understanding what they're saying. And by judging from some of the smiles that I see spouses giving each other, I think this is true, that we are all guilty of doing that. But here, he is saying, I will listen to you. He's being active in that. He's saying, I will listen to you. I will give my time and make you a priority and listen to you. And so when we face troubles in life or trials in life, and it's going to happen, everybody's going to face some trials in our life. We want somebody to hear our troubles. We want somebody to hear what's going on in our life. We want somebody to share that with. Well, God will be there, and He will share that with us. And we are kind of guilty of that. Now, I'll give you an example. How many of you this morning greeted each other? Probably several, right? The common greeting is, good morning, how are you? What are you hoping the other person says? I'm good, how are you? And then you just keep on walking, right? Do we truly want to know how you are? Good morning, how are you? Are you waiting for them just to tell them their life story. Well, you know, I got this surgery coming up. My back hurts. I got this. My job's this. I've got this going on. Or is the common thing out of courtesy just to say, good morning, how are you, and then kind of walk on? Unfortunately, that's the way most of us are. I'm guilty of that too. Good morning, how are you, and just keep on walking. Well, God is not like that. If you call out to God, he will listen. And he cares enough to truly want to know what's going on in your life. And so the first thing, God has a plan for you. Second thing, God's going to listen. Seek his word. Seek him and find him and read the word and know him personally. And then whenever you call out to him, he will be there and listen to you. I can give you another example of this. It's a few years ago. We were on vacation in Virginia Beach. And I think Cooper was probably three, maybe? Something like that? I don't know. Maybe three, maybe four. Well, anyway, we're at the swimming pool. And he has this little floaty thing. You know, it's almost like a donut, but really small. It wasn't a life preserver or anything, but it was really small. And to where it would just go around his waist. And he could put his arms around it, and that would make him float. And he was safe, so we thought. So he was in the pool. He wasn't in the deep end, but he was in like the 3 to 4 foot area. And we're sitting on the sides, kind of watching him. And he's just sitting there having a good old time and just really enjoying it. And Amber and I are starting to talk about something. And we both, for a split second, don't pay attention to Cooper. Wouldn't you know, guess what happens? He jumped out of that little floaty thing, and he went down. This was before he could swim. And to this day, I can remember his cry for help. I can hear that. And so here he is, totally vulnerable, but he's crying out for help and relying on somebody to help him. And so, of course, we reacted. Here we are in shorts and shoes and cell phone and everything, and in the pool I go to get him. Because it didn't matter, right? As a father, as a parent, whenever your child is screaming out for help, you react. You don't think, you just react. Because there's a difference in that cry. There's a difference in that scream. You know this is not a joke. This is for real, and you react. And we saved him. He was perfectly fine. God wants us to cry out to him. God wants us to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me with this. He wants us to cry out to him, Father, Father, please, I need you. But guess what? He will listen every single time. Because he has that type of love. And he has that type of love for all of us. Right? Every single one of us, he died on a cross willingly to save us, to give us that opportunity. And now he's asking for us just to cry out to him. And he will listen no matter what's going on. So the third thing, God has time for you. So look at verses 13. It says, you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And so what God is saying here is not that we have to find God, but that he would be there for us. He's not really saying, you have to find me. He's saying, when you look for me, you will find me, and I will be there for you. I will always be there for you. And so whenever we're in those troubles or whenever we're struggling or whenever we're going through life wondering what that plan is, search for him. Find him. He's right there. Again, he's waiting on us to call out to him, and he will answer, and we will find him. It's not like a hide-and-go-seek puzzle or where in the world is Waldo or whatever. It's not one of those type of things. Right? If we call him, he's going to listen. And when we call him, he's going to be there for us, and we will find him in all his glory. So the nation of Israel was in a kind of that same mode, desperate for something to happen. They were crying out to God, and God answered their prayers through the prophet Jeremiah. And he told them that he would be there for him. He laid out his plan and assured them that he was listening to them. And then he assured them that he would be there for them. And so what an awesome reassurance that we can all apply to our lives today. And so it's one thing for someone to say, I love you and I support you, but it's a totally different story when the rubber meets the road and they're actually there for us. If we all had those friends, and I hope we all do have those friends, that we know that if we call them in a time of need, they're going to answer, no matter what it is. If we need something, they're there for you every single time. God is like that, but just to the 100th time more, he will always be there for us. So I'm sure that the people of Israel at the time did not understand why they had to stay for those 70 years. But it was God's plan, and we find out that some 70 years later, God held true on his promise as Ezra and Nehemiah led the people back to Jerusalem. And so he was true to his word. And so graduates, there's going to come to a time in your life when the world hurts you and things are not going your way, a time when you cry out for God to hear his plan and for his presence to be there. And I want you to know this promise to you, he will be there. He has a plan for you. And so we are not alone. We have a God that has told us that we will never leave us nor forsake us. We also have each other as God's body of Christ. And so graduates, we here at Fairlawn Baptist Church, you're part of our family. We will always be there for you, no matter if we never see you again. If God calls you to some other place, we will always be there for you. And I know it personally, and a lot of other people here personally know it, that people here pray a lot. And we will continue to pray for you throughout that journey, wherever God leads you. And so because we are one, we are all in the body of Christ, we will love each other like that. And so we are not alone, and we will never be alone with God with us. God has a plan. His plan is to prosper us, not for destruction. His plan is for us for good, not evil. But we must believe that even when we don't understand God's plan, we have to believe and trust that he has a plan. And so the three main things I want you to remember is that God has a plan for you. He will listen to you, and he will be there for you. No matter where you go, no matter what the struggles are, he will always be there. And so graduates, I promise you, whenever you go to college, if you're going to college, you're going to be faced with some struggles. You're going to be faced with some temptations. You're going to be faced with opportunities that you didn't have while you're living at home. I urge you to seek God first. Think for a second, what would God want me to do in this situation? God will never fail you. And if you follow his plan, that plan will never fail you. Period. All right? Now, we have a perfect plan for all of us. That doesn't mean that we always follow God's plan. Many of us here today can definitely state that we've made some bad choices. We haven't always followed God's plan, but he has one there for us. And looking back on things that I've went through in my life, and it's always amazing to me to see how things all came together. Cling to God, all right? Be dedicated to God. He will not lead you astray. Things of this world will lead you astray. There are tempting things out there, just like the false prophets that are saying something's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of false things that are thrown at you in your life that you might think are good, that you might think is awesome or great opportunities or something that might be fun or feel good or whatever. What would God want you to do first? Think about that before you do it. And so today, that's really what I want the graduates to take home and to know. But I think it's applicable not just to graduates. I think it's applicable to everyone here. To know that God has a plan for us and that we can always rest assured in that plan. And so if you're here today and you're hearing all this and you're kind of thinking, well, what is this whole God thing about? You know, why would I trust him? Why should I trust him? Well, there's a million stories of why. And there's a million stories in the Bible of why. God is always true, and he's always fulfilled his promise. So today we're going to go to a time of dedication here in a minute. And if you're here and you don't know God, I want you to ask those questions. You know, you've been struggling through life. You've been wondering which way God is, where to go, what to do, who to be with, or whatever. Please take a minute, pray to God, ask him. He's there. He's waiting for you to call out. He's waiting for us to ask him those questions, and he will be there, and he will lead us to that. If you're here today and you know God and you've maybe veered away from him, well, maybe today is the time to rededicate your life back to him, to remember that God loves you, that he has that plan for you. Or maybe you're here today and you think everything is great and going good and you're close with God. Well, I also encourage you to pray and give thanks to God. Tell him how thankful for those things you are and how much you love him. He wants to hear that too. He doesn't want to just always hear our needs. He wants to hear our praises too. So bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for today. I thank you for our graduates. I thank you for the opportunities that they have. I thank you for the encouragement that they've been to me, that they've been to everyone. Lord, their future is promising. There's a million things that they could do. There's a million opportunities out there. Lord, I ask that you would be with them. Put your hand on them. Love them. Protect them. And guide them. Lord, I ask you that to encourage them to seek you, to reach out to you, and then to listen and follow your commands and your will. Lord, we know, and we've been through it many times before, that your will is a perfect will for our lives. We just need to trust. Lord, I ask you that you would help us to trust you. Lord, if there's people here today that don't know you, Lord, I ask that you would move them to reach out and to find you and to learn who you are. Lord, I ask you that you would give them the encouragement and the strength to get up and make a stand and say, you know what, I'm going to follow you. And Lord, I need you. And today is going to be the day that I reach out and ask for you, because we know that you will be there. Lord, please just thank you. Just thank you so much for everything you've given us. And if there's a need here today, Lord, I ask that you would have them to come. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you have a decision to make, the altar is open. Jason will be down front here to meet you if you need to pray with him as well. Let's stand.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me Consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steady hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer. draw me nearer to your precious leading side. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to your precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow seas. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to your precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me your precious bleeding side. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to your precious bleeding side. Draw me.
Been a great day. Amen. Marcus, thank you for your message today and all that. Hey, Mark's going to be back up here next Sunday, correct? So we're going to get a chance to abuse him a little bit more. So be in prayer for him this week as he continues to get ready. Jason and Carmen are heading to the National Convention, correct? So be in prayer for them as they head down there. And where's it at this year? Birmingham, Alabama. Pray for Birmingham. So anyway, but it's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Remember our graduates as they go on. Oh, okay. Tonight is in the fellowship hall because they're going to be working in there. And I'm glad you said that because Miss Judy gave me a couple things. And listen, I may be the one that's up here giving you things and all that, but I'm telling you, this lady has been a godsend with everything that's been going on and all that, and she is the one that is propping me up, all right? So she's got prayer walk brochures out there. It's just basically a prayer guide for what you can be doing for VBS. If you're not involved and you can't be involved, you can be praying, all right? So make sure that you go out, grab one of these. We would love to have your prayer support for that. Also, we've got registration forms so that you can early register your children and all that. We're also going to try to get this online. Right now, that's beyond Rick, but he's soon going to learn. So it's not beyond Rick anymore, okay? So anyway, make sure you grab one of those. Also, we've highlighted, please make sure to put down any food allergies or anything, so that we're very aware of that, all right? So, thank you for being here today. It's been a joy to have y'all, and let's pray as we head out, all right? Father, we thank you so much for the message that we heard today. And Father, help us to remember our graduates as they begin a new path in life, and Father, deciding and looking for what your will is in their life. And Father, we just pray that they would seek you diligently in that. And Father, that they would just listen to your voice. Father, listen to those who you have blessed with wisdom to pour into their lives. And Father, just give them some sort of direction as well. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for what you're doing here at Fairlawn. And Father, once again, we just want to be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that's happening. Be with us as we go on. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't forget the real quick VBS meeting right down here. Right down here.